Glad to be with you, to worship with you. We want to begin, as we begin most every Sunday, with a reading from God's Word that reminds us of the anticipation of God's presence coming to be with His people. And Isaiah writes about this in Isaiah 40 that John the Baptist quotes part of as he proclaims about Jesus coming after him. He says, "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all..." Can't read that. "And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is what we anticipate as we gather in worship of the Lord coming again, even as He has already come. And so we announce His presence as we worship together. So let's do that. Let's put that into practice. Would you stand with us and sing? Rose is going to read from Psalm 103.
"As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust."
And that's a really humbling scripture, that we are dust. And the song we just sang, "Our God Alone," talks about how he formed us out of dust. And I think so often we get kind of overconfident in ourselves and in our abilities. And the scriptures remind us that we weren't created by our own power, but by God's, that we are dust. And so we are reliant upon God for everything that we have in life. And so we come to worship him, not just because he's worthy of it, but because that is what we have been created to do, that apart from him, we are nothing. Let's just continue worshiping. Steve's going to come up and lead us in prayer.
Please join me as I talk to him, the Lord. Here we are, Lord. It just it tickles me, makes me smile. In a world that is having an increasing problem of getting along together, there's 175, 200 people here who are getting along. And we know why that is, because you're amongst us. You've been walking with us. Well, the truth is, you've invited us to walk and follow you. And so these moments together are quite refreshing. The nurturing, the healing, the nudging that you do in this hour, week after week, it doesn't escape us. And we come because it's been a constant encounter with you and your kindness. And not just here, but 60, 70 other churches here in Salem, in Atlanta, Georgia, Sydney, Australia, Curitiba, Brazil, and Bangkok, Thailand, and scattered throughout all over China, people hiding together to fellowship together because they are in love with you. So, you know, we understand a little bit of what's going on, but the big thing we understand is that you show up here and we enjoy you. We have two of our sisters here, Mary Ray and Teresa Ziner, Lord, that you've allowed to head over to Israel on a tour to see the land that you walked. And Lord, would you even give them the protection, the increased ability to grasp just the significance of what they've been reading about in Scripture for so many years. They're going to walk in those steps where that happened. Inspire them so they can come back and cast a compelling vision to us again too, just like you did with Pastor Barry. We invite you to slow our minds down to your speed right now in these moments. We would enjoy that. Amen. You may be seated. Have three quick things here I want to just highlight for you. One, right after this service, we have our lunch, Linger Longer, just down the hallway there in the gym. You're all invited. We'll enjoy that together as a family. And then immediately after that, we have our annual business meeting. And you're a member. You're not a member. You're still welcome, you know, to come and participate in that. Please, please consider doing that. I think it'll be worth your while. Next Saturday, for men only, Smart and Ready. We do this once a month, Smart and Ready, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Men, if you put that on your calendar, I think it'll be well worth your while. We're going to talk about pleasure versus pain. I think we all like pleasure, but we're going to talk more about that for sure. And you know what? That's it. There was one other thing. Love and Logic. Love and Logic is a training seminar that our good friend Carol Nesmith, sitting right here in the front row, and her sister Barbara Holt are going to be doing. For anybody who has children, young, you're a parent of a young child, or you are a grandparent and you have some children that you're still hanging around, this would be a great time to come around February 11th, from 5 to 7, get some tips. In fact, I just spent all last night with our grandchildren. I slept on the sofa with their dog chasing me all around the night. So I'd go someplace and the dog would follow right there. And anyway, we're watching the kids and we're having a chance to influence our grandchildren, 5 and 7. Right now, my wife is doing that at home. I almost wanted to just say good luck and head off. But so I'm going to be there on February 11th because I see it as an opportunity to sharpen my ability to impact our grandchildren. So if you would, just sign up for that because it includes dinner from 5 to 7, seminar and dinner. You can sign up on the big, long black counter there at the close of the service. Pastor Barry.
Thank you, Steve. So glad to welcome you to New Harvest as well and be on this special day. This is really a great day. First things first, Mid-High, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Meredith is in the back. She would like to meet with you. So if you're in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, you got a special connection with Meredith and a lesson just for you. That's happening. And we have our connection cards. We're going to collect those connection cards. We enjoy hearing from you about maybe a need you have, something that you're excited about in your life. Maybe you want to volunteer for something. It's just great to stay connected through our connection cards. And as Steve prayed for Mary Ray and Teresa Ziner as they head over to Israel bright and early next Sunday morning, I wanted to recognize them, and they're going to come back with a really exciting report, I know for sure. So Mary Ray and Teresa, where's Mary Ray? Mary Ray, she's in the kitchen. Oh, well, there's Teresa right here. Yay, you can raise your hand, Teresa, or something. Yay. Yes, going to Israel. So good. And they're going to come back, and you're going to be like, I want to do that too. And so you can twist my arm, and I'll go with you. So that'll be great. Well, it's time to return to Romans, and a lot of people have asked me since the beginning of the year, knowing that we would have sort of focus at Christmas time with, you know, Jesus and his coming among us through the birth and all. But Romans is where we were for the fall season, and so welcome, we're ready to jump back in. Now, today is such an exciting day. We get to gather and start Romans. We get to have lunch together. We get to have that, you know, especially inspiring annual meeting. We all know that. It's just going to knock it out of the park. In fact, I was telling some people, today is like heaven for a pastor. I mean, it's really good. Some people say, you mean you like the annual meeting? Well, I like it at New Harvest anyway. So it's really been great to see how God has taken care of us as we were blessed with a great year in 2017. We have hopeful anticipation of 2018. You can hear about that even in more detail as we get together. And there's something for the kids while we're talking about that from about noon to 1. It's all ready for you. Hope you stick around. Now, it's an interesting task to say that this morning I would like to review what we experienced this fall in the book of Romans. We spent 14 Sundays on Romans, chapters 1 through 7, and I'm going to do it in the next 35 minutes. Yes. But how am I going to do it? I mean, I could do it sort of like a class because Romans is pretty organized. Paul goes into great detail about stuff, but it's pretty organized. I could give you an outline, da, 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 da. You'd feel like you're at a seminary class. Everybody want to come to a seminary class? Yay, we're at a seminary class. There's three people. Okay, so maybe not. Maybe you'd rather have it be a little different. Like, how are we going to understand Romans 1 through 7 in a way that, you know, kind of like applies to our life and, you know, would get us back there and get us ready for Romans 8 next week? Well, I think I found something. Well, I think God helped me find something that's really woven into the theme of these chapters. It's one particular word. And this word jumps out because it's used 19 times in the book of Romans. And 16 of those times are in the first seven chapters. And there's something about this word and the way that Paul uses it that ties it right to, oh, I'm in the way. Oh, I got to get out of the way, don't I? We have a camera that's right here, and in a minute, I'm going to show you a slide, and it's going to blind me. So I'm going to get used to being over here, and so on. So anyway, we're going to do logizomai. I practiced that. Logizomai, and it's the Greek word in the original text that is so significant that it's tied to really the theme and a great way to review chapters 1 through 7. I want you to think about it this way. You probably didn't notice this decorative 2x4 that we put up on the stage and everything. But it's here for a purpose. And if I asked you to come and up on stage and walk on this 2x4, you could probably do it. You would just focus on it, and you'd do great, wouldn't you? Right? No problem and everything. In fact, I didn't even tell him this. Trevor, come and walk on that. My youngest son just follows me anyway. There you go. All right. Yes.
It's like nothing.
No, it's nothing. Okay, Trevor. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this particular board. You can sit down. Because I don't want you to have to do this. This is hypothetical. You'll be glad. I want to hoist this up 300 feet. And I want to put it on one cliff to another and secure it, really secure. And I want you to walk across it. Now, that totally changes everything, doesn't it? Not really. It's still the same board. And I walked across it. And Trevor walked across it. But what would happen if it was 300 feet? You know, it would be hard for you to stay focused on the board because you would be looking over the edge and you would be worried about falling. And guess what? Most of you would. And that's really the key of logizomai. Watch how it comes out. Oh, take a look here. We want to get a visual. There you go. Okay, that's simple as pie, right? You're going to walk across along that, and it's a little more than 300 feet drop, but it gets the point. Now, take a look at this. This word logizomai is used 19 times, the 17th time in the book, after it's been mentioned 16 times already, is in Romans 8:18. Now, you said you're reviewing Romans 1 through 7. I am. But here we have a great way to understand this word, and it's succinctly put. I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing to... I didn't read that right. I consider that our present sufferings... Consider, that's the word, logizomai. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's a very helpful way of introduction because it's a comparison and it's about focusing on suffering or focusing on glory, all right? Focusing on falling or focusing on the board. The same thing, same idea with a word that is full of meaning. Focused attention, consider, think about, count as true, regard, hold on to, reckon. It's all one word translated in those different ways, showing the significance of the meaning and something that's very applicable to your life. taking Romans 8:18 for example. When I count the sufferings I'm going through as nothing, and I count the glory as everything, it does not matter if my suffering is 300 feet in the air, I will remain confident on the board. Now, that's kind of a mouthful, but that's the idea there. If we focus on the possibility of falling, we'll fall. But if we focus on the assurance that we stand, we remain secure and confident on the board. Logizomai, focused attention. Now, that's the introduction. It's a helpful introduction in Romans 8:18. The readers, the original readers, were well aware of this word because he had used it so often already that they knew what it meant, and it was perfect sense to them. Okay, let's look at the first time the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans uses this word, logizomai. It's a verse you might remember. It's the importance of thinking, and right after that, Romans 2:15. Remember this verse from Romans 2:15? Maybe not, but it's a pretty familiar verse in the overall teaching of Romans when it says they, referring to the Gentiles, they, the Gentiles who do not have the law, show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them. And I think a better translation than the one in the NIV is, or excusing them. I can't remember what it says in the NIV. I've thought about that a little bit. I should have my Bible open. That would be a good idea. Here it is. No, that's not it. Here we go. Verse 15. I know my Bible well. Here we go. Or at other times defending them. That's what the NIV says. Or at other times defending them, excusing them. Like, I'm okay now. When you read this, ties to conscience and thoughts, and the backdrop is that in Romans, the first thing the Apostle Paul is doing is showing that everybody falls short. The Jew falls short because they disobey the law. They can't follow the law, not to the letter of the law, not 24/7, not 100%. They fall short of the standards, the glorious standards of the law. But the Gentile who doesn't have the law, same thing, same idea. They have the law written on their heart. It's called their conscience. And they know in their conscience, right or wrong, and they think about it. And sometimes they think about doing it, and sometimes they think about not doing it. This depends. The idea is here, he's getting at the fact that our thoughts are really fickle. It's this idea. When you sense something isn't right, we think, I won't do that. Good. But other times we think, I don't care that it's not right. I'm going to do it anyway. Yes, we can go both ways. And eventually, we, you know, our thoughts go astray. That's the, like Eve. Eve in the Garden of Eden, at one point she's thinking, now God is reliable. He is the one that has set the plan for life, and I want to obey him. That's one minute she says that. The next minute she's thinking, now wait a minute. This sounds pretty good. I mean, I want what I want. And so she says, one minute she says, we want to obey God. The next minute is we want to be like God. And her thoughts are fickle. They go like a roller coaster. You know this. Your thoughts are like that too. My thoughts are like that too. A roller coaster of our thinking reminds us that we eventually fall. In fact, our thoughts condemn us. That's Romans. That's the first part. That's the emphasis of Romans 1 through 3. Our thoughts condemn us. There's right and wrong. Which one do we do? It's kind of a toss-up. We obey or disobey. Well, you know, if it's a good day, I might obey. If it's positive or negative, our thoughts go all over the map, and they reveal that we have a great need and that we, like Eve, will go our own way and be led astray, and we need forgiveness. It's almost like this. help God, save me, I'm about to fall. And he does. God saves us. When we realize, when we say, and we put our faith in Jesus, it says that we're redeemed when we put our faith in Jesus by the blood of Christ, and we're justified by God as being made right in his sight. Romans. Condemned in our thinking, hope, because number two, the faith of our thinking. The faith of our thinking. One of the most powerful paragraphs in the Bible is this: these verses in Romans 3. And if you have your Bible, I don't have it on the screen, but in Romans 3, verse 21, it goes like this. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Now, that's a mouthful, and yet I wanted to read it because it's one of the most significant paragraphs in the Bible. Because it's the gospel, and the gospel is revealed here, and it is our hope. Now watch what happens. You're thinking, okay, thank you for reading that. But verse 28 is like the summary. We just heard this amazing message, and in verse 28, guess what happens? For we logizomai. There's that word again. Yet it's translated in the NIV, maintain. And in the ESV, hold to. And in the New King James Version, conclude. And I think a great translation would be believe. The faith of our thinking. Believe. This person, here it is. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Very succinct statement. It is summary in nature. It is the connection between the focus of our life and the faith of our life. We count it as true, and we stand on it as true. It is, in fact, if at any given moment I conclude what has just been said as true, that I am justified in his sight, I stand confident. That's what it's saying. It's a great summary verse to the most essential truth that we stay riveted on. It's like this. I'm walking along the board, and I have confidence. I have confidence even if my problems are mounted high, even if my circumstances are very challenging, even if people's opinions seem to be suspect, even if my performance is lacking, I remain confident. I stand on the board. I'm riveted on the truth. I know, I concentrate it and I believe it as true. And in that moment, I have a secure identity. That's the message. It's a marvelous message, really, to count that you're justified as true moment by moment. That's what he's inviting us to do at any given moment. Like any moment today. If both of us, me included, would think this, believe this, and have riveted concentration on it, you would live secure. You would know that your identity is intact. And nothing could change that forever. All right? So that's where we are. Number three, keep on giving a review. Our thinking condemns us, but our focus now by faith is that we are made righteous in his sight. Remember our whole time that we did on justification by faith, the enormous truth that launched the Reformation of the 16th century and changed the church. Now, watch what's behind it. Number three. The God who thinks. Now, you all know that God thinks, and he thinks continuously. And that's not a surprising statement to you. You believe that. If you believe God, you know that he's always thinking. So what is he thinking? That's the important thing, right? What is he thinking? Well, we learn about that in chapter 4. And it's mentioned three times in a row, our word, logizomai. In verse 3, when we're talking about Abraham of chapter 4. Let's take a look at that. It goes like this. What does Scripture say? In Genesis 15:6, it says this. Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was credited or counted as righteousness. Credited to him as righteousness. Counted to him as righteousness. All right? So here we have this statement. It's about Abraham, the father of faith, and he believed God. Now that's good. That's good that he believed God. He's kind of like the example, the forerunner of faith, right? But the best part of this is that because he had faith, God saw him as righteous. That's what it's saying. God viewed him as righteous. It was God's view of things that we're talking about here. Now to explain it, in verse 4 and 5, it says here, now the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, which means to earn something, I have to earn my status before God. No, to the one that does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness, like Abraham. And as I said, this is that thing called justification. It's a big deal. We were offline. We were ready to fall, and God justified us, put us online simply because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. He put us back in line. We couldn't. He did it, and that's what it's teaching us right there. And the word credited is such an interesting word. Most translations use different words, like the English Standard Version and the New Living Translation uses the word counted, and I'm going to suggest to you that that's even a better way to think about it. Here's why. Credited is like a transaction that happens right at this moment. We're credited righteousness. But here's the deal. It's already, the account has already been credited. So when you look at an account, what do you do when you look at an account? You count it, right? I count it. I see it there. I realize it's true. You see, Abraham had already put his faith in God. He had believed in God in Genesis chapter 12. And at that time, he was seen as righteous by God. And it's declared to be so later in Genesis 15:6. As a man of faith, he is now counted as righteous before God. Now, this might not seem that important to you, but it is. Your account has already been deposited when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that account remains true. It doesn't change. And every time the Lord thinks about you, our great God thinks about you, he sees in your account deposited the righteousness of Christ all the time. Even when you fluctuate, even when you're faithless, our God remains faithful. Isn't that something? It's just such an amazing truth. But the point is, how does God view you? That's really the idea. God views or viewed Abraham because of his faith as righteous. God views you because of your faith as righteous. And he continues to do so. He continues to think of you this way. And that makes such a difference. You see, there's suggestions in God's word that God's thinking about you all the time. And that really sounds cool, unless what he's thinking about you isn't cool, right? If he's thinking like, oh, that loser, I tell you, I've been trying so hard on this person's life and they're just really not getting it. If he thought about you that way, that would kind of like be, you know, discouraging. But God thinks about you all the time with a little skip in his step. He's going, well, you know, that's one of mine. And they have the righteousness of my son, Jesus. He has a smile on his face. And that's how it is, really. So I think of this for all of you. I imagine most of you, 93.5% of you, have already said yes to Jesus Christ. And the rest of you can before the day is out. It's so cool. It says, call in the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It's like that, and he's going like this. So we can have 100% by the end of the day. What do you say? So let's go with that. 100% of us now, because you just said, I'm in agreement with that. I need Jesus in my life. I couldn't do without. I'd fall off the plank every time. I'd be doomed for every time. So he's going to put me back on the plank. He's going to line me and everything. That's what Jesus is going to do. That's what he's going to do in my life. I say, yes, amen, and let's do it. So we got 100%. Let's go for it. And so this transaction, 100% of us are made. It's deposited. And so you place your faith in Jesus Christ previously. You have placed your faith previously in Jesus Christ already. Previously. That's what it means already. Previously. And so God sees you right now as standing on the board. And you're saying, well, I'm wobbling. He still sees you. Set. Secure. That's the way he sees you. In fact, to kind of reiterate this, the author, Paul, in verse 8 of chapter 4, uses words from David, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Here it is in the Old Testament, Septuagint, logizomai. The Lord will never look at you and see sin. Oh, that's an amazing truth. He will not count. He does not recognize. He remembers it no more because of Jesus. He remembers it no more. You're washed clean right before him. And you're thinking, well, I don't deserve it. Me neither. It's grace. And he looks on you through the eyes of grace. Only God can do that. We look through the eyes of performance. We look through the eyes of matching up. We look through the eyes of saying, oh, you don't look quite good enough for me. What kind of clothes are you wearing? What kind of job do you have? We look through that lens. God doesn't. He looks through the lens of grace. And he sees righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, in your bank account. Amazing. When God thinks about you, he sees righteousness because of the deposit of Christ's righteousness in your account forever. Number four. So, as amazing as this is, and so much wanting to help you have a review of Romans, this is where the rubber meets the road. And this is really my shortest point, and you're going, whew, good. This is really my shortest point in the review, because this is what we're going to talk about from here on out. Number four, the power of thinking. The power of thinking. And this amazing verse, we're going to walk on this plank with confidence. No matter how high it is, no matter how many things are tempting us to look, we're going to stay on this plank and we're going to walk it in faith. And it's going to be riveted thinking, assurance, focused attention, like this. In the same way, Romans 6:11, as Jesus died and now lives, verse 10, count, logizomai, yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count as true yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Now that is a profound statement. I was looking back at my notes. On November 19th, I went into a pretty long rendition of the meaning of this verse because it's so significant. It's short, succinct, and especially significant. It's saying this, logizomai means a settled determination to believe that something is certain, even though the certainty of it seems to fluctuate. I better read that again. It's in my notes, I can. Logizomai means a settled determination to believe something as certain, even though the certainty of it seems to fluctuate. To believe with certainty that I'm alive in God and dead to sin. To believe that at this moment, right now. But that seems to fluctuate. Like temptation. Temptation comes my way. It starts knocking on my door. I go, oh, that doesn't feel like sin is dead. Ooh, envy starts knocking on my door. Oh, there's sin again. Oh, then there's resentment. Boy, and anger and lust. Whoa, they're knocking on my door. Well, don't open the door. It's knocking at your door. There it is. It's right there. It feels alive. It seems alive. It's, you say in your mind, sin's not dead. Look at that. It's right there. It's just, it's so close. But if you and I, with riveted concentration, would say these are lies, they're tools of the enemy, they're not true for one who is declared righteous in God's sight, and I'm not going to open that door, I'm not going to go in that direction because I am one alive in God. Because of Jesus, I'm going to walk this plank. I'm going to keep focused on this. There's lots of stuff happening around me, but I'm going to move forward. No, I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. There's possibilities, and I live more like Jesus. The sanctified life. Sanctified means to be set apart, to be transformed, to become more like Jesus. And as I live in Him, He's alive and in me. And I say no to sin more and more. You see the possibilities? These possibilities are going to come alive in really marvelous ways in Romans 8. Marvelous ways. And you're going to see, hey, this is possible. You say, perfection? No. Victory? Yes. Sanctification? Sure. More like Jesus? Day by day. Now watch this verse. I just thought this was a cool verse. I put it in the notes, so I'm sort of drawn to skip it, but I don't want to. Because you're going to go, well, why'd you put that verse in? Well, I just like it. Isaiah 26:3. It's really about the message that I've been trying to share, the practical aspects of logizomai, kind of highlighted with this verse and many others. You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Now that translation, I think, could be better in the New Living Translation when it says, whose thoughts are fixed on you, God. I think that's better. That's what he's saying. As my thoughts are fixed on you, God, I'm trusting in you, I'm believing in you, I'm sure about you. You, God, are faithful. You are great. You have set me apart. You have made me right because of your Son. I am focused on you. And what will the result be? Perfect peace. Maryland came Wednesday night. But anyway, perfect peace. No, Maryland helps me so much. I'll ask the group, well, what do you think? And then I'll go, Maryland? That's so good. God has given her a spirit of discernment. Really, I'm telling you. But here we have this battle. And this battle is this. It's the battle of the mind. And if I remain focused on who God is and what he can do for me at any moment and what I want to be about in him, perfect peace. Now, you're wondering about Romans 8, right? You're on the edge of your seat. You're saying, oh, I hope Sunday comes fast. Yeah, Romans 8. Look at this. You want to look at Romans 8:5? Let's just look at Romans 8:5. Just a little glimpse. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Sin is very much alive in the flesh. Okay? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And they, friends, are alive in God. We, in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, can have victory, sanctification, we're set free, the adventure that leads us to heaven. There it is, Romans 8. It's coming next week. Lord willing, I'll be here too. So, will the worship team come? Can we collect the connection cards right now? Tim and Michelle, that'd be great. Well, you're wondering why I'm standing up here still. Maybe you aren't. I'm wondering why I'm standing up here still. I want to show you something as a way, at least I thought about, moving into communion. I think that I've given you plenty of wonderful ideas from Romans that would really make communion special. To be atoned for, our sins atoned for by the shedding of Jesus' blood. That's the meaning of the meal. But I had another thought. You see, this book, Philippians, also has this idea of logizomai in it. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, logizomai these things. Think on these things. Focus on these things. I like that verse. You like that verse? It's a powerful verse, isn't it? Now watch Philippians 3:13. It says this. Brothers and sisters, I do not logizomai myself yet to have taken hold of it. I don't count as true that I've arrived. No. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain towards what is ahead. My focus will not be behind me. My focus is going to be before me. I am going to focus on the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. For the prize is already given to me. I focus on it. I live for it. It is my destiny. I want you to walk across this board by faith, focused on that you are made righteous by Christ and Christ alone. And I want you to keep walking. And as you walk, this new year will unfold. And opportunities will be marvelous. You're going to say, you know, 2017 was rough. And the things that I went through, well, I need to forget them. Do it. If there's sin, forgiven. Let it go. God does. Remembering it no more. And focus before you the possibilities. Closeness with God. Walking with Him. May this communion meal be that kind of expression for you. Come and take the cracker and dip it in the juice. Lord, you're my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. I dedicate myself to you. I want you to lead and guide. 2018. It could be the best year you've ever lived. Who knows? God's full of wonderful surprises. And guess what? His opinion this whole year will never change. Will you please stand? It's been a great morning. It's just beginning. I just wanted to share something. This marvelous beam also represents something very special to most of us. This beam is the cross beam that Jesus used to die in our place. You and I were on one end, sinful and hopeless. God was on another end, righteous and holy. He invited us to come and have relationship with Him when His Son died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. And many of us have taken the step across by faith to have relationship with the living God. But I just want to make sure, even as we're in this place, that no one has to leave wondering about their relationship with God, for it has been provided through the sacrifice of Christ to have relationship with Him. And even as I pray, you can pray right now, Lord, be my Savior. Jesus, I believe in you. I have sinned. I fall short. I need to be forgiven and have life with you forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm just thinking of any individual that's here this morning that is uncertain about where they would be if they died today. But they don't have to be uncertain. Lord, you have open arms through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can know you now and forever. And Lord, I pray with anyone here right now as a sincere prayer. God in heaven, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And I accept that sacrifice by putting my faith in you. Thank you for forgiving my sins and making me right with you, something I could never do. Lord, I receive you into my life. Make me the person you intend me to be. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for each one that might pray that prayer. The sincerity of that prayer would be the gift of eternal life from you. And thank you, God, for the gathering this morning that begins now with lunch. It continues with lunch, I should say, and our celebration as a church family as we look back and look forward. Thank you, God, for our time together in the wonderful truth of Romans, and we anticipate our journey through that even as we launch into Romans 8 next week. Thank you, God, for new harvests and for each one here. I pray this prayer with everyone in the name of Christ. And everyone said, amen. Well, enjoy lunch. Stick with us if you can. Thanks for being here.